It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It may not be the polar vortex of a few weeks ago, but our second major cold snap of the season has descended upon us. The cold, combined with additional snow every few days, it seems, makes it not only irritating to drive, but also a challenge to keep our cars ready to cope with a double whammy of extreme cold and icy roads. Lake Effect's Dan Harmon is joined by automotive contributor Mark Savage to talk about a few winter car topics, starting with snow tires.
Well, I think a lot of people probably don't go with snow tires as much as they used to when we had a lot of rear drive cars, and it's probably not quite as necessary. But with a winter like we're having this year, it would be a good thing to have. And I will say this, two things. One is I drove a car recently that had Bridgestone Blizzaks on it, and this was one of my test cars, and it was absolutely awesome to drive in the winter because – it was a stick, and I could put the power down, and away we went, and I never, ever had any problems with traction. And, you know, I'm sure the Bridgestone people are happy to hear that. But saying that, in addition, it's probably been 15 years now since Bridgestone had us out to the Pettit Ice Center with some cars inside, and, you know, they'd rented the space for the day and put us on the ice with normal tires and with other competitors' tires and their tires. And it was fascinating and revealing how quickly you could stop and how easily you could start with the snow tires. And snow tires are generally designed to work best in 45 degrees or cooler, and we've certainly had plenty of cooler weather this year.
No problem there.
No.
Well, what is different about these tires that allows them to function so much better?
Well, snow tires generally have more sipes, which is the little cuts you see in the tread. And that helps give it more traction in wet conditions and on icy roads. And that's basically the trick here is getting enough of the tire to get enough grip on the pavement that you either can stop quicker or start quicker. And I know a couple of friends of mine who use them all the time and have snow tires, and you know they wouldn't be without them in the wintertime. I just think most people don't want to spend the extra money to go ahead and go that route, and I guess you have to decide how much you're out driving and how proficient you feel you are behind the wheel.
Yeah, the other thing is being in an urban area where the roads generally get pretty clear just because we pay for that. I would imagine if you spend more time in rural areas that it might be worth the money even more so.
It would make a lot more sense. You're right. In my neighborhood, frequently the streets stay kind of icy and snowy because, you know, there's not that much plowing or that much salt that gets put down. So it's a little tough for maybe two or three blocks till I get to a main road. But most of the time here, you know, we get out on a main street after, you know, 12 hours after snow or whatever, and away you go. It's not a big deal. But certainly if you live in a rural area or you drive in from the country, you know, to commute into the city before you get to the highway or something, they do their job. I mean, you can argue, you can persuade yourself one way or the other as far as the cost goes, but these are fantastic tires for the wintertime. I mean, they do a great job. There's, you know, different compounds that they put into these things, different rubber compounds than they used to, and they do the job.
All right. Well, I used to live somewhere where studded tires are still allowed, as far as I know, and chains. And that's more of a mountain road thing to do.
Mountains, you still do that someplace.
We don't have any of that here, do we?
No. In fact, you know, studs have been out for quite a while, and I don't know how many states even at this point allow studs. But you're just right. It's more likely out in the mountain states and the Rockies and so forth where you'll see chains allowed. And studs. And, you know, they do their job too. I mean, obviously I'm in the snowmobile world too, and we put studs into our sled tracks too because, hey, it helps you stop a little quicker.
Well, we're talking about some winter things. Seems appropriate right now. What about – I've seen actually a few articles that touch this issue about whether or not you should warm up your car. What do you think about that?
Well, there's two matters of practicality when – it's cold outside, especially when it's this zero and sub-zero temperatures, is in the olden days when we didn't have direct injection engines and, you know, better engines like we have these days, you needed to warm things up to get the fluids going and so forth. Now they say, I think, up to about 10 seconds and your oil should have already circulated throughout the engine and everything's fine. So most of us, that's, you know, if you start your car by the time you put on your seatbelt and if you have to adjust a mirror or do anything, you know, put your gloves on, take your gloves off. that's your 10 seconds or 15 seconds and away you go. So it's not necessary to warm it up. But from a practical standpoint of, hey, it's zero outside and my car has been sitting out all night and it's cold inside, many of us probably would like to have them warm up for, you know, a minute or two and get going. But at that point, you're wasting gas, and you can argue certainly that you're letting more pollutants into the atmosphere and so forth. But I guess most of us probably, if we leave the cars outside, you start it, you scrape the windows if that's necessary, and you know, a minute or two later, you're driving down the street.
This is something where I've actually deferred to my owner's manual. I did go and check, and it very specifically states, do not let the car warm up. Just start it and then drive away gently, it says, until
right.
The car starts to warm up.
Right, and that's it. It's obviously, the really cold temperatures, it makes everything brittle and everything's a little bit, you know, stressed. So when you start your car, like I said, give it the 5 or 10 or 15 seconds while you're sitting in the drive, getting ready to go, pull on out, and then you know, don't try and race to the corner and go crazy with it, because everything is working to get up to operating temperatures and so forth. So as they say, drive gently. I mean, your brakes are going to be cold and they might be snowy or whatever too. So, you know, brake gradually and mildly. Don't go, you know, ballistic on your car. Give it a little break. It's cold like you are, and pull out gently, drive gently. And after 2 or 3 minutes down the road, things are going to start heating up and get to operating temperatures.
This makes me wonder how many cars that have the remote start are contradicting their manufacturer's recommendations to not warm up the car.
That could well be. But again, I think a lot of those is that you want to start it up, and if you have a heated seats or a heated steering wheel, you want to turn that on and get it cranked up. And it's a comfort thing more than it is a car functionality thing.
So something that's block heaters, I don't really hear much about that anymore. Is that something that's still advisable or even helpful?
You know, you don't hear a lot about that anymore. I know some automakers still offer, a little option package, maybe $50 or $100 to do that. It's certainly a viable alternative. And if you live especially in rural areas and your car is outside a lot, I know a lot of guys, for practical matters, do it for their pickup trucks and especially diesels, and put something in to help keep the oil and the block warm. So yeah, those still work, and it comes down to whether you feel you need that. If your car's inside or in a garage, that really does offer an awful lot of protection. I frequently, because I have these test cars and I don't have a big enough garage to get everything in there, I'll leave them sit outside, and you know, they start, and some crank a little harder than others when you first start them in the morning. But of late, when it's been really cold, my neighbor has been letting me stick the car into her garage, and you know, I've been checking the temperature gauge. So if I start it on a 0 degree morning outside, the car is a zero. And when I start it in the garage and let it sit there for a minute and look at the temperature gauge, it's usually 18 to 20 degrees. So 18 to 20 degree difference is a big difference when you're down in that zero and sub-zero range.
Okay. And engine block heaters can be aftermarket. Some manufacturers still let you. And they're really not that much money. I found them to be pretty reasonable if you want to get one aftermarket.
Right. I think you're right. These are not high-cost items, and if it's something you can, especially if you have a garage and you have a place to plug it in easily, you know, why not? Give it a shot, and, if nothing else, the car will start easier, and there's got to be a little less stress on the engine just because that oil is already, at a fairly reasonable temperature.
All right. And they're not just for diesels.
No, not just for diesels. No, they're for anybody who feels they need that in their car. And like I say, if you're outside, leaving your car outside a lot, that's a real good thing to have.
Yeah. Actually, I was walking around and I saw someone's plug coming across the street into their car. And I was thinking, is that an electric car, or do they just have an engine block heater? I don't know. I didn't figure it out.
Well, yeah. Electric cars are a little tough in this time too, because boy, their range drops way off with the cold, because cold zaps the energy.
Right. Well, one other big concern in this kind of weather where it's just snowing all the time and salting all the time is, of course, your car's paint. I think underbodies have come so far that it's not that big of a worry if you don't wash the underbody until winter's over. But the paint itself, what do you think? Should you wash it frequently?
Well,
there's no time. How do you even do it when it's this cold?
I think when we have the weather like we've had lately where it just stays cold, it's not advisable to start putting more water on your car and freezing your locks and everything, your hood shut so you can't get into it if need be. But, you know, it's not bad to knock the salt off the car once a winter anyway and get it back down to the ground zero. But we do have better paints. They're much thicker. They're much more elastic than paints used to be, so that they're not as brittle and they won't break and, you know, because things have been on them for the winter and the cold won't affect them that much. And the cars all have the galvanized steel. Some now are adding aluminum, as we've probably all heard that Ford's going to add a lot of aluminum to its pickup truck. But some have aluminum hoods and so forth, and all that is much – well, aluminum's not going to rust at all, and the galvanized steel, it certainly takes a long time. I mean, think about it. When you see cars these days, I'm – my wife's driving a 12 or 13-year-old vehicle at this point, and it's just starting to get a little rust on the back wheel well, and it used to be after 4 or 5 years you would see that. So it's – you know, the cars are much better than they used to be. And you shouldn't have to worry about that so much.
Two questions, follow-ups to that, which are, is it a fallacy, or maybe that's too strong of a word, that once you get below perhaps 20 degrees that salt won't have any effect on your paint anyway because it's too cold? Do you think that's true or not? And then does it matter if it's salt or calcium chloride?
Well, I'm sure the chemicals that are out on the roads and what all, you know, what mix they're putting out there can have an impact. I don't know what temperature that takes place at. I mean, I know some of these things are rated so that they'll melt down to like 15 or 20 below zero. So you would think if they're active and that they would be working on the ice that's on the street, that it's also going to be acting on the body of your car. But again, I mean, we all do run through a variety of things and it doesn't seem to have that big of an impact. It's nice to get it washed off. It certainly looks better. It's nice to have clean windows because you can see better out of them. So all those are pluses. And just one other thing I would add, you know, for winter driving, two things is be sure to, you know, check your tire pressures occasionally because those can get low and you're either going to get worse gas mileage and or you'll have less traction. So kind of check those from time to time, especially after you've had a couple of real cold spells like this. And then the other thing that I guess I would just warn all the people who have four-wheel drive out there to remember that four-wheel drive is really mainly intended for mud and snow that is a couple inches deep, that where it gives you a lot more traction that way. It doesn't give you a lot of extra traction on ice. On ice, you're pretty well in the same boat as the rest of us. It's just that you may have a little more confidence that it's not going to be a problem and that it very likely will be.
And, of course, it might get you up to speed faster, but it won't slow you down any bit.
Correct. Yeah. And especially if you maybe have an older vehicle and don't have the anti-lock brakes, although most people have that now. But, yeah, just be careful out there. Everybody slow down, take a little more time. It's no big deal. What's another 5 minutes out in the cold?
Oh, we can handle it.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Lake Effect contributor Mark Savage is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's auto writer and associate publisher for four magazines at Waukesha's Kalbach Publishing, American Snowmobiler, Classic Toy Trains, Fine Scale Modeler, and Scale Auto Magazine. He spoke with Dan Harmon. Getting lost in the maze of an automated answering service is a fact of modern life. Well, Lake Effect SES Bruce Campbell rages against the machine when Lake Effect continues next on Milwaukee Public Radio.